Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. What's up, everyone? So I'm going to start this new series on my podcast. It's going to be separate episodes away from the topics that I'm normally engaging in. So I'm going to call these Talk About It Tuesday, okay? And we're going to talk about some things because I am sitting in my car. It's 8:45 p.m. And I'm sitting heavy. I'm really sitting heavy with the emotions of, you know, working alongside young adults who struggle with homelessness and who are also just trying to better themselves and get connected to resources and see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean? But there are some folks who I work with who sometimes they just can't see the light. And it's even hard for me as someone who advocates for hope and love and peace. And sometimes it's hard for me to shed light when their life has just been nothing but chaos. And I told someone today, I was like, you know what? Sometimes you just got to find your umbrella to help you cope through that storm, you know? And their response to me was, the umbrella is just going to lift me up in the air because my storm is actually a tornado. And that's what, it's, you know, first off, imagery is hella powerful. Second off, damn, like, through my lens, I could be like, yeah, have hope, hang on, you know, it gets better. But at the end of the day, all of us struggle with those moments where we are just kind of convinced that it doesn't get better. So many of us have just been taking so many L's since our childhood to like where we are now that we are convinced that this is all it's going to be. Life is just going to be full of L's. And for someone whose reality that is, how do you restore hope? I mean, you can teach folks how to breathe and how to cope and how to hang in there, but fuck, life is hard. When we are out in the world, when we are at work or at school or whatever responsibilities we have, we code switch into this version of ourselves that, you know, can survive that environment. But when we go home, y'all, when we are laying in our beds by ourselves, what are you really feeling? What thoughts are being consumed in your head? What parts of yourself are you struggling to accept? Like, when we lay in that bed and we're vulnerable and it's just us, like, that's the real you. And sadly, not a lot of folks get a sense of that realness of who we are because the world doesn't provide that safety for us to exist that way. And so I say to you this, I say, for folks struggling with suicide ideation, I hear you. It's almost impossible to be like, it's hard to understand, you know, why you wouldn't want to live. Like, it's really hard to come from that perspective because you can understand exactly why folks don't want to live. And, you know, me coming from someone who also struggled with suicide, I mean, I mentioned this in an earlier podcast, you know, I had family members who constantly either struggled with it or family members that, you know, always announce that that is something they're going to do. When it comes to suicide ideation, it's almost like a normal part of life now, it seems. And there's nothing normal about that. For folks who don't want to live anymore, for folks who are ready to throw in the towel, like, you have to have reached a part of yourself that you were just exhausted. And you're tired of feeling the way that you're feeling, and you have no hope that things can get better. And I say that to say because I am someone who also, you know, at the age of 14, 15, I also did try to take my own life. And I'm thankful that it didn't work. And I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to share my story, because that's something I never shared with people. And I think somebody needs to hear this right now. So I'm just allowing the spirit to like really guide me in this conversation. I really just started recording without any idea of what I was going to be talking about today, but this is where it's going. And I'm going to open up about how, you know, as a young girl, my experience with trauma was really hard. You know, witnessing my parents' domestic violence, especially as a young girl, always trying to be the person to save and rescue everyone, having to shelter my siblings so that they didn't understand the violence. I mean, I'd take them to the room, put on shows, put on cartoons, and then I would have to go and try to be the savior for my mother. And, you know, having to run back and forth to care for your siblings, like, that shit does something to you. It really hurts and impacts the way that you exist. And so my mother having to overcome, you know, the violence and the trauma, my mother became someone who was so hurt and angry. And I know her anger was not really anger. It was pain underneath it. And my mother was someone who, because of her anger and because also, you know, she was struggling with depression and a lot of these, you know, a lot of the things that the trauma has caused, and there's no resources that we were connected to. Like, we literally, like, our way of healing ourselves was just pray about it. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. But, like, you keep praying and praying and praying, and sometimes you're like, damn, am I just not being heard? And it's like, no, it's not that. It's just there's more work that we can do besides just praying. That really helps us find, you know, peace within ourselves. And so, you know, I remember my mom being so overwhelmed, and I admit I was not the easiest child. Like, I'm gonna be 100% honest with y'all. Like, I was the child that, like, really just always was talking shit, always smart ass mouth, always attitude. Like, and I, you know, I think I was at this point in my life where I also was traumatized, and I also didn't have access to release everything that I was feeling or be able to process that, those life experiences. And so, yeah, I for sure was an angry ass fucking teenager. I for sure was. I admit that. So I know I wasn't the easiest. And so with that came moments where me and my mom would fight. You know, I would never hit my mom, but I also would, like, be the one to kind of hold her hands down every time she tried to whip me. Because my mom, she would bar asses, you know. She was someone, when it came to discipline, she did what she was taught. That was the environment she grew up in. And then also the environment my grandparents grew up in. And so when you talk about generational curses, you also talk about the ways that we have been disciplined. And so because I constantly was a smart ass, I constantly got my ass beat. And, you know, my mom was really just trying to teach me how to be respectful and not speak up to authoritative figures and, like, all this stuff. But I think at the end of the day, I was really just this hurt young girl. I already experienced sexual trauma. I already experienced domestic violence. I already experienced just, like, emotional, so much emotional damage, you know, like, fuck. So when you're a young girl really going through those life experiences, it's important to begin to reflect on the ways that it hurts us. So because that's just a background information of where I was at this time emotionally, I was tired of living. I used to have this obsession over death. Oh, maybe I'll die in a car accident. And then I remember growing up, I would not put on my seatbelt so that if we ever got hit by a car, I could be the one that flies out and doesn't make it. Like, I would think these things as a child, like, or I would lay in the bathtub, and I feel like some people can relate to this right here. I would lay in the bathtub, and I would really just go underwater and imagine myself drowning and not getting up. So there were moments in my life that, before that led to the suicide ideation that I had, that I already had this obsession of not wanting to be there. Like, my world sucked. And then being a kid and going to school, and you can't afford fucking school clothes, and you can't afford none of the cool stuff the kids got, and then now you're not really a part of the cool crew, and how does that impact your identity? You know, like, we used to click up and really just give people the platform to be popular based on just material shit. And that is what a lot of kids are struggling with now. So here I am, this young girl, just misunderstood at home, misunderstood in my community, misunderstood just everywhere. It was hard for me to imagine something different from that because I faced that every single day. And the pressures of being the oldest on top of all of that, like having to make sure that my siblings are taken care of while also getting my ass beat when, you know, when we would get into fights with them, or like me and my siblings used to always throw hands. So it's just, man, like there are folks who just have been through so much shit at such a young age that now you're probably older, you're probably an adult, and you're still going through shit. And it's hard for us to find the sunshine in the midst of the storm. And so I decided this one point in time that after my mom dropped me off at home, after my mom dropped me off at school, that I was going to walk right back home. And I already had this plan. I already wrote a suicide letter. It was in my journal. I was also someone who journaled at such a young age too. So you would think that like, okay, I had it all together, but nah, I was ready to give up. So in my journal, I just kind of wrote, I love you to everybody, and I'm sorry, but I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it no more. And I remember writing that letter was so hard. Like, I was crying so much, and it's not like I really wanted to die. I just really didn't want to feel pain anymore. And I'm going to say that again. I didn't really want to die. I just didn't want to feel pain anymore. I feel like some people can connect to that right now because that becomes our reality when we are trying to escape something that just seems like you can't run away from. And so I'm home alone, mind you. Everyone is at school. My mom's at work, single parent, so she's, of course, at work, and I'm at home. And so we had a four-bedroom apartment, and my room was upstairs. And so I remember going up to my room, mind you, I snuck home, and I checked all the rooms to make sure, you know, mom's car is not there, number one, but I just made sure that I really was alone. And I remember going into the closet, and I seen a video about how to tie almost like a rope around your closet, and I put my head through it, and I let my body hang. I let my body hang until I could hear my heartbeat beating like dun 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 dun, and then slowly dun dun bum ba, and slowly my heartbeat was beating, and it was so loud. The slower it got, the louder it got, and I remember thinking like, okay, this is it, like, this is my moment. I'm going to be free from the pain. And inside I knew I didn't want to die. So I remember saying like, God, if you were real, like, this is your moment to show yourself. Like, everybody keeps talking about you exist and there's these special moments. And I just want to know if you want me to live, then interrupt me in this. And so while I'm just sitting there letting myself hang, and I can feel myself getting ready to almost like get lightheaded, like I'm going to pass out, I heard a voice said, stop. Now, mind you, I thought I was tripping because I'm like, I was just asking for a sign. Am I making this up? But no, y'all, when I tell you this voice I heard that said stop was so loud that it scared the fuck out of me. To the point where I stood up quick, gasped, and got my air, and like almost took a moment. But then I'm kind of listening like, wait, somebody walking up the stairs? Like, who the fuck is in our apartment? I thought we were in here by ourselves. So the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, maybe we had an inspection today and I didn't even know about it. You know, like I was convinced somebody was in the apartment with me. When I tell y'all that I searched every room in that apartment and it was empty, I went back to my room. I fell on my knees and I broke down and I fucking cried and I cried and I cried and I cried, and I just let myself feel because I had almost convinced myself that I was numb and that I had no more feeling. But no, I felt everything in that moment, the heaviness, the weight. And in the midst of crying, and mind you, I'm ugly crying, like I have boogers coming out my nose, like snot, like it's just a whole mess. And all of a sudden I started laughing and laughing and laughing. And I remember being so confused why I was laughing and why this pain was just transformed into joy, and what can be so funny and what can be so, like, you know, what can be so funny about this moment that you just tried to take your life. And then I sat there and I thought, like, damn, I asked for a sign and this is what I got. And it stopped me. It interrupted me without me even thinking about it. And I remember feeling hope for the first time in a long time of, wow, there has to be something more out there for me. There has to be something more out there for me. Even though if I don't see it, like, and I'm being told that I'm never going to be shit in life, and I'm just this disrespectful ass kid, and I'm just going to be just like my deadbeat dad. Like, all the labels that have been placed upon me were just so heavy. And I'm just a little girl. I sat there and I journaled out my feelings, but more so, I never told anybody about that. I mean, I told a couple friends that, like, I really trusted when it comes to, like, damn, I struggle with suicide ideation too. And, you know, you open up a little bit, but to the public, like, this is real vulnerable for me to even share to you all. But I know that that experience comes with, I'm glad I didn't give up. Because the life that I'm living now is not one that I had in my vision. It's greater than that. And I'm not going to lie, I still have my downfalls. Life, it comes in waves. There's going to be high moments and low moments. But when those low moments hit, I never allow myself to reach a point of, I don't want to live anymore. Because I saw what happened when I decided to live. I can experience new things. I get new chances, new opportunities. And the way that I show up for folks now is the way that I wish somebody showed up for me when I was young. So people are like, damn, Desi, you're so inspirational and you're just really out here, like, pushing and got your business going. And underneath all that, y'all, like, for real, underneath everything that I put forth is a young, hurt woman who is also struggling with life and who is also wanting to create space that doesn't exist. Or, like, right now I'm creating these groups for counseling, and I'm doing it for a month when we meet once a week. But folks think that I'm just doing that for everyone else. No, it's inclusive to my own needs. I'm doing this because I need it just as much as everyone else does. And so together we heal. And I just want to let people know who is struggling with suicide ideation to just hold on a little longer. I promise you, like, you don't want to die. You just don't want to feel pain. And life comes with some experiences that does bring joy. And, you know, me being a mother now and witnessing my son smile, like, that is something I'm thankful I didn't give up on myself for, because then my son wouldn't be here. And my son wouldn't have the opportunity to exist on earth. And so it's like, when you are going through so much shit, you just got to find the reasons that are worth living. Because we already know we got a million fucking reasons on why we don't want to live. But there's also a million and one reasons why life is still worth living. And so, if you're listening to this episode today, I say to you to give yourself that space to feel what you feel, to feel what you've been hiding, to release everything that you've been taught to keep under the rug, to just breathe again a breath of fresh air that doesn't come with the heaviness or the anticipation of another chaotic situation occurring in your life, because that is something that you're accustomed to. Like, take moments to breathe in and out. Let's do it again. Take a moment to breathe in love. We're going to breathe in love right now. Breathe in love. Hold it in. Breathe out war. Breathe in peace. Breathe out pain. And every time that you breathe in something positive, something that your body needs. And every time that you breathe out things that no longer serve you, memories that are no longer worth you holding on to, pain that is no longer yours, release. everything that attaches itself to you and makes you feel heavy, let it out. And remind yourself that you are courageous for choosing another to live another day. You are courageous for choosing to live another day. You are courageous for choosing to live another day, because although life is not promised, and although we are never granted the opportunity to know when we will no longer be here, it's a moment to be special and remind ourselves that, damn, like, you know, I tried my best. Even if all you did was get up and brush your teeth and you got right back in bed and, you know, struggled through your depressive episode, like, bro, the fact that you got up and brushed your teeth, worth celebrating. Like, worth fucking celebrating. Because we know that shit was hard. For me, sometimes when I'm in my depressive episode, like, sometimes I prolong brushing my teeth, and then I also prolong drinking water, and then I also prolong not eating. Like, I be fucking myself up, y'all. Like, my depressive episodes, they be fucking me up physically. But I release all that. I release it. I shake it off of myself, and I remind myself to speak life into myself. So every time I look in the mirror, I gotta tell myself, you are worth pursuing. You are worth living. You are worthy. You are loved. You are appreciated. And then the biggest affirmation that I love is, you are safe. Because there's been so many of us who have not had the privilege to be able to have that safety or the stability in our families that allow for us to have a moment to feel like, okay, I'm not drowning underwater right now. Like, sometimes I think folks forget that that's a privilege. If you come from a family where maybe you've always had shelter, rent paid for, like, you know, that's something to definitely celebrate about yourself. But it's also folks out there who never know if rent's going to get paid, or who struggle with lights being cut on and off. And are we going to be able to afford groceries this month? Like, bro, like, there's people out here struggling. So if you are that, if you fit into anything that I'm saying today, like, this episode is intentionally for you. And I know I say this all the time, but I want you to know, I see you, I hear you, I feel you. And I say that all the time because I am you. There's this saying that I've heard somewhere. I think it says, like, I am you, you are I. No, I am you, you are me, together, a community. And the more that we start to really be open and vulnerable with ourselves is when we start to understand the way the world works and why there is a need for so many more creative spaces. So in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your tornado, like, some of us it's just a rainy day, some of us it's a storm, some of us it's a hurricane. In the midst of all of that, find something that keeps you grounded. And remember that after the storm, after the tornado, comes the sunshine. I appreciate y'all so much for tuning into this episode. And I just, for folks who are suffering with suicide ideation, please reach out for help if it's too heavy, if you can't stop thinking about it. Reach out for help, whether that's counseling groups, a therapist, there's suicide numbers, there's family, there's friends. Like, reach out to someone, because the weight that you are carrying right now is heavy. So I appreciate y'all. I hope y'all give yourselves the biggest hug tonight. Love yourselves. Love your children. Kiss on them. Don't be afraid to show affection, because sometimes we need it. But sending so much love, peace, and joy to all. Have an amazing night.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.